Never fear, never fear. I'm still here. I'm here. Sorry. Talking to my little Awana people out there, man. It's pretty exciting. They're having their inside out night, whatever that means. And they're like, Pastor, are you going to wear your clothes inside out? No. My clothes barely fit right side out. You know what I'm talking about? But sorry, I was having too much fun. Imagine that. I love those little kids. I was telling Miss Rachel, I almost said her maiden name, Miss Rachel Johnson, not Wallace. I'm not a very emotional guy normally, like as far as tears, but a couple weeks ago, our preschool, all the kids were sick, and we were sitting there, and Brother Brandon almost burnt the church down with a corn dog, and I ran out, and I'm telling all your business, Brandon. Nancy and Danielle were sitting there, most of the kids were sick. We only had two kids that day, and I went running out. I was like, dude, the building's on fire, and I found out that Brandon had burned a corn dog or something down there. I don't know, but... But I was thinking about that, and this last week, all the kids were back, and we had all of our kids, and I'm just crazy. I like having them, and so it was President's Day last week, obviously, so we had them Thursday, and so Miss Maddie's the art teacher, and she made these, like, bags, but they were George Washington. They had, like, cotton hair and all this other stuff, and they're telling their parents, like, this is George Washington or whatever, and they're all excited. Like, they have no idea who George Washington is. They're like, Daddy, this is George, right? And I'm like, this is cool. And I was thinking about that Friday, just like how much of a blessing. And I was like, tears coming down my eyes just watching those little kids. And so seeing them excited about anything to do with their church, you know, is exciting for me. Just, you know, watching them be excited about being around their church friends. And, you know, I know that parents don't want to hear this. And I didn't. I'm looking around here and there's fruit of this in their church, but there's going to be some like Carters and Maddies that meet at church that get married here, and there's going to be some Kentons and Sophies and some Brandon and Megans that they met at church, and I know that moms and dads don't want to hear that, but I see the boys over there like girls and the girls over there like boys, and like I've told you all before, I'm really thankful for boys that like girls and girls that like boys in our church. So I know you guys don't want to hear it, and they're like, well, what about your own kids? And like I've gotten to the point even with my daughters where I'm like, if they find a good Christian boy, then I, you know what, praise be to God, I'm not fighting it anymore. I'm not saying I want them to get married today, but I'm not fighting it. I was telling Brad and them, you know, I'm saving up money because I know I got these weddings and things to pay for someday. But it's just fun to go over there and watch those kids and growing up and loving Jesus. And thank you for all you folks who serve in nursery and children's ministries and youth ministries. It is a blessing to all of us. And I really think that parents, we ought to really be thankful to come to a church where people will serve. You know, Miss Cynthia said something this morning that was absolutely crazily astonishing to me. She was printing more, like their class is growing, their preschool class, or their Sunday school class is growing because people are turning four. Miss Leah turns four next week, and so they'll get her. And she said, it's fun when you have more kids. I was like, in whose world? I would have been perfectly happy with those three kids that are there on Sunday mornings. Miss Cynthia's like, it's more exciting when there's more. I'm like, Miss Cynthia, she's on the powders or the juices or something in the morning. She's like, and then we give them donuts and juice and get them excited. I'm like, what? I don't know what she's on. Like, I don't know. I rather enjoy when there's only two or three of them. She's like, yeah. She's like, I don't know. But I'm really thankful for all those folks who serve and nursery workers. And so parents and grandparents and guardians, we ought to really be thankful that we have a church where people are willing to serve and double back and sing and praise and worship and leave and get off the stage and go to the nursery and sing a special and wait and people filling in and Miss Don or Miss Debbie staying over so those ladies that sing can wait until they get there. We ought to really be thankful and give God praise for each other and that we have that opportunity. And then we have all these young people over there serving, college and career age and youth that are over there that don't have children, but they're serving with children. We ought to be just very grateful for that, and I really am. So we're going to do two chapters, verses. You'd be really happy if we only do two verses. But you know your preacher. I can make two verses go 2 hours if I needed to. So Genesis 29 and 30. Genesis 29 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, not because of how spiritual I am, but because of how hilarious it is to me. And it's just so wrong, but it's also awesome because you see God literally taking what mankind's thought. This is really kind of like one of those situations where we see that God, he doesn't look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the man's heart, and we see that here. with this story. So last week we concluded Jacob has now been sent to Haran, to Padanaram, to go and find a wife of his mother's family. We know that in the past, Esau has gotten married to these Canaanitish women, these Hittite women, and very displeased his mother and father. And so he's like, you know, I'm going to make up for that, still thinking fleshly and thinking that he can do something. So he goes to Ishmael, Isaac's brother, and finds a wife there as well, so that he has somebody in the family lines. But we know Jacob is sent away for two reasons. One, so that he doesn't take a wife for the Hittites, but two, so that he will get away from Esau, who their mother knows as soon as daddy dies, Esau is going to try to kill you, right? And so he's sent away, and he's also going to get a little taste of his own medicine. He's been this deceiver, this hill catcher, this trickster, and now he's going to go over to Laban and to his family, and we're going to see some things here in this chapter. And then in the next, and so we're getting really in the heat of Genesis now, and we're just about halfway through, a little bit over halfway through the book of Genesis, and so we're going to speed up just a bit. Verse 1 in chapter 29, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. Now the people of the east at this period of time would be Syria, okay, so the Syrian people. So when we look in the New Testament, these Syro-Phoenician people, the area of the world that they're in, obviously the northern kingdom at one point following these times becomes Samaria, becomes the capital of that. And so we see that this is where he goes. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with anything. I just think it's neat. They have found old ancient wells in Israel, and a lot of times they're just a hole in the ground with a stone over top of them. They're not these big, beautiful, bricked up, these big, huge fountains or anything. Sometimes in our mind, we think that they're just like these beautiful fountains. Now, in Jesus' day, they were much more beautified and bigger, but a lot of times they were literally just in the ground, a well where, remember, they had digged, and they find that water, and then they just put a stone over it to keep it clean, and then all these folks would come, and these animals would come, and they would, that like this time of day, and they would find the watering hole, and somebody would roll the stone away, and generally, it would take a couple of people to roll the stone away, but I think that's interesting, because it's funny to me here, in just a couple of moments here, you'll see what I mean. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. So there's the stone back over top. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. Now remember, that's where his granddaddy was called up out of, right? And so he's going back to that family, Laban's family, who was all a part of Abraham's family. And that's where they want him to go and find a wife so that they can continue to have people who are serving, not these Canaanite people, but people within the family line. And Jacob, he asked them this question. He said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him, right? So here's this small town. It's like Elf. He knows Santa, right? They know Laban. Some of you don't get the reference. That's okay. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's mother's brother. Now, here's the thing. Remember, all the patriarch's wives are absolute babes. All right? And so Sarai's a beautiful woman, Rebecca's a beautiful woman, and Rachel's a beautiful woman. The reason why this makes me laugh is because usually they roll the stone away together, or they put the stone together, but Jacob does it all by himself. He's going out there, he's going to like show off his strength, right? He's like, here comes this beautiful girl. All right, I'm going to roll it away. Please have your animals drink here, right? And so you see that, and then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Like, dude's crying on the first date. I mean, this is a little much. I don't know. But he's like, I mean, she must have been hot. I don't know, dude. He's kissing and weeping, right? And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother. He said, we're cousins, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And so he's going to get paid. And so in this day and time, this is before the law, we're going to use this word servant or kind of slave, but a hired hand is really what it was and what we called it in the Old Testament in the Genesis day. And so you're going to be here with me for a month. Not only are you going to earn your keep, but we're going to pay you, right? You're already there working and striving, so let's get you paid for this. And Laban said to him, we're going to pay you. He says, so serve. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, this is awesome for lots of reasons. We'll see it as we go through the Genesis account, but I'm going to go ahead and give you some understanding now. Leah's name literally means cow eyes. Now, why somebody would name their daughter cow eyes, I don't know, but that's what her name means, all right? I can't fix that for her. Cow eyes or goat eyes or eyes of cattle, right? And so I know we have Leahs in our world and people, it's a good biblical name. You're like, why would they name her? Well, they're naming their daughter Leah after this Leah, not after cow eyes. But these people name their daughter Leah after cow eyes. I'm just telling you, that's what her name is. And I always like this because she was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. What they're saying is, Leah's not very pretty, but she has a good personality. And so she's on, you know, I don't even know what they have these days because there's so many of them, but she's on ChristianMingle.com. And they're like, you know, a lot of guys are just swiping. Is it left or right? I don't know. But they're swiping the other way because she's not beautiful. But the guy that reads the content and goes, you know what? She has a really good personality. Let me give her a chance. That's Leah's story. And then there's Rachel, and she's just hot. She's beautiful and well-favored, and everybody likes her because they're all looking outside. But I'll have you to know, as you know, that from the loin of Leah comes both the priestly line of the Levitical priesthood and the godly kingly line of Judah all the way to Jesus Christ. And so even though the man looks on the outward appearance, God chose this because what is she? She's tender. And so she's not special in the sense of like just like Mary, but like this mother of humility, this mother of mercy births the two offices that Jesus fulfills, the only person that fulfills them in one, in the line of Melchizedek. I realize it's a different line than the Levitical, but that's why Jesus comes in a different line, because he is the king and priest, right? And she is the mother of favor. Even though Rachel's going to be the wife, they're both going to be the wife, God uses Leah. And I think that's also a great story because God uses what we sometimes see as unusable. God uses what the hard situation and the things that aren't pretty. Rachel's going to find herself barren and Leah's going to be able to just have children and these different things. And I want you to know tonight from your pastor, and I want you to really take this to heart. No matter what your situation is, no matter how hard things are, no matter what it looks like on the outside, don't ever find yourself in a place where you don't think God can use you. Amen. Don't ever find yourself in a place where you're struggling, because life is a beautiful struggle, isn't it? I mean, you've heard me say it a million times, but my grandmother told me, and she was so right, you're in the middle of a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of a storm. There's only three phases of life, and your storm may have been lasting for a long time, and you may only get out of it for a little bit, but let me remind you that Jesus Christ is so good, he's so powerful, he's so merciful, that he can take all of us broken things and make something very beautiful. He makes beauty from ashes, right? And literally, and Leah's a perfect story about that. One who wasn't looked upon. Jacob, we're going to see, he didn't want her. She's literally forced upon him in some sense. But we're going to see by the end of this thing, she's not reverenced. When we talk about the patriarch's wives, we never say Leah. We say Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. Yet Leah's the one from whence our Savior came out of. She's the mother of promise. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Man, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but I can't remember who it was yesterday at the youth event, or somebody said something about, you know, his wife doesn't seem like, it wasn't in a bad way like about that. It was about something outside of church. Just we were talking about something. I can't remember what it was, but they said, it doesn't seem like his wife really loves him that much. And I said, you know, It's interesting you say that. I'm not saying I agree with this 100%, but my papaw preacher, Preacher Smith, said it's not the wife's job to love according to the Bible. It's her job to submit. It's the man's job to love. I think all men would love for their wife to love them. But he's like, but that's not the biblical standard, right? The standard is that the man will love the wife as Christ loves the church. And to serve 7 years for this young lady, to put yourself into subjection for 7 years, shows that Jacob had a real love for this woman. So he does this for the younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob, now Laban, this is a trick. Laban, he's being dirty. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. He said, oh, it was just 7 years was no time at all. I loved her so much. I'll serve another 7 years for you, girl. I mean, he's singing them old, like, R&B songs to Rachel. He loves her. Like, this has nothing to do with anything, and this is not. Pastor Tim Carter, if you were there yesterday, he literally rapped, and that scarred me for life. I'll never be the same again. He said, all I do is win, no matter what. This is Tim Carter, one of the moderator at my ordination, 57 years old, mentor of mine. He was rapt, and like, it's normal for me, but like, I'm scarred. I'm never going to recover. But I thought about that, and you know, my mom and dad used to listen to old R&B songs, and you know them songs be lying. You ever think about that? Babyface talking about, I'll give you the sun, the stars, the moons, and the mountains. You can't give her any of that stuff. That is a lie. What women out here are buying that nonsense? Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye said, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough. Yes, there is. This is a lie, right? Jacob said, you know what, baby? This is nothing to me. 7 years, I'd do it all over again. I love her. But Jacob said unto Laban, hey, watch, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. So 7 years, he's been pure. Young people, understand that. Much as hot as he is, as much access and open fields they had, they kept themselves pure. They kept themselves holy. He says, until we're going to be husband and wife, we're not going to do anything that would be not pure. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now watch this guy right here, man. Jacob's getting a dose of his own medicine. But man, remember this. Remember who Laban's sister is. Pop quiz, who's Laban's sister? Rebecca. And what did Rebecca do? She's a deceiver. Yeah, she's the one that's like, come over here, Jacob. Let me get you all hairy acting and cook some venison and let's trick your father. This is just a low-down, dirty family. Jacob got it honest, didn't he? So Laban says, let's make it look good. Let's prepare a meal. And all. He always knew what he was going to do. It came to pass in the evening, once they got this all done, the trick that he plays is, when it got dark, remember, there ain't no street lights. It's not like they got cell phone flashlights. Like, it's dark. These tents are out in the middle of nowhere, and it's dark. And Jacob's been serving. Now, he's never touched Rachel in any way. He doesn't know, anything physically about her body or anything like that. And so Laban comes, and he takes Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. So it's dark. He has no idea. He thinks he's got Rachel. He thinks he's got the one he worked for, and he's tricked, and he gets Leah. Kenny Baldwin, my beloved, says he got the ugly one. Now, I'm not saying that Leah's ugly. The Bible doesn't say she's ugly. It just says that she wasn't as pretty as Rachel. So your standard in our language today, maybe Leah was a 6 and Rachel was a 10. You know what I mean? My buddy told me one time, I've never had been able to date a 10, but I've had 2 good 5s. You know what I'm talking about? And so I don't know if that's good or bad, but whatever it takes, right? So maybe Leah was a 5. I don't know, but... He says, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah his handmaid for a handmaid. Write down that name or underline that name, Zilpah, because she's going to have later on some children as well by Jacob. So remember, Jacob has a couple of children by these handmaids of Rachel and Leah later on, and those are some of the folks who make up the 12 tribes of Israel. So just so you're aware in your biblical study, not all the 12 tribes come from Rachel and Leah. There are also some handmaids that are mothers of these tribes. And so that's an important name for women of the Bible. I always say this when I'm doing something with women in a study or something like that to try to increase women so they understand how important they are to God. God used all kinds, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New. Lois and Eunice we see a lot in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, God used a lot of women, even handmaids, to propel forward his plan. And so, women, you are very valuable and loved. And it's not a common everyday preaching, but most people probably never heard of Zilpah, but understand and write that down. You'll see her later. So not the last we'll hear of her. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" Oh, man, that's a tough word, because that's the same word God used when Satan beguiles Eve in the garden, right? That's a dirty thing there. Can you imagine waking up, you've served 7 years, and they seem to just a few days, you've been singing all the love songs and frolicking through the fields and all of the sheep and saying, "Oh, Rachel, I can't wait until that day when 7 years are finished. We're going to be given in marriage and we're going to have our honeymoon and we're going to leave this place and what I came to do will be accomplished." And you wake up and Coyote Ugly's next to you. Oh my. I think we've made a mistake. "Laban, what have you done to me? I'm over here with this one, Cow Eyes." He's like, I don't know why this story tickles me, but every time I read it, I think to myself, you know, that is dirty. And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Why didn't you tell me that before? You trickster. He says, "But fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Oh, give me 7 more years, and I'll give you the younger. Now you already got the older. Man, you talk about the family dynamics in Jesus' bloodline. I try to tell you guys, people, they want to watch all this nastiness on TV and these old shows and these Maury Povich's and stuff. You don't need none of that. Just read your Bible. You talk about messed up families. Remember that message I preached? A messed up family? You think you got a messed up family? This is Jesus' family. "Oh, well, you know, I'm divorced and I got kids over." Listen. Your family's not more messed up than Jesus. Because now he's going to work 7 more years and he's got his, you talk about sister wives. He got Leah over here and she's going to start saying stuff like this. "If I have a baby by him, maybe my husband will love me." She literally says, isn't that sad? And Rachel's over here all pretty, and she can't have a baby. And she's like, "Oh, I'm barren." And Jacob's in the middle going, "Oh, he got baby mama drama." You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, like, for real. And he ain't got baby yet. He says, "Okay, I love Rachel so much." So watch what happens here. So Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave Rachel to his daughter, Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. So write down Bilhah as well, okay? Or underline. And he went in also under Rachel, and he loved Rachel, or loved also Rachel more than Leah. Oh! Poor Leah. This is a very known thing. Now, conflate this story for just a half a second. Allow me a little latitude. I'm using it as illustration. But I'll tell you one thing that is really important for us to see here. I'm not saying this about Rachel, and I'm not saying this to be crude or mean about somebody who is barren in this situation, but I want you to understand this, and I want you to hear me. Sin looks really pretty, but it's empty. And serving Jesus and doing the hard things of the gospel isn't always that fun. And it doesn't always look real pretty, but it's always fruitful. And this is the juxtaposition of Rachel and Leah. Rachel, now eventually she's going to have some babies, I understand that. But at this very moment, and you know what? We see this, but Jacob loved Rachel. And a lot of times, even Christians, we love our sin. We love the pretty things. We love the things that we know aren't right, but they look more better. They're way more fun. They feel better. Everything seems better, but they're empty. It's vanity. But then we see this Leah doesn't seem as fun. Well, listen, nobody, I mean, we had a good attendance today, but nobody really wants to get up and come to church in the snow when it's cold outside and the wind's whipping. I mean, I'm not like a cold person, but I would much rather come when it's 45, 50, 60 degrees than when it's 18 or 20 when I get here in the morning. It's not always fun. It's not always pretty, but man, it was fruitful. It was good. And sometimes it's a beautiful day. It's 100 degrees, 90 degrees out there, and you know, 60, 75 in the morning when we get here, and the sun's shining, and it can fall really flat. And some days, some of the coldest days are the best days we have. And all I'm saying to you is don't be deceived by what it looks like. Eve was deceived by what the fruit looked like. And then she was deceived by this serpent that came and talked to her and said this thing because it seemed, he said, no, the fruit's good. You can eat that, right? Even though it wasn't for them. And I just want you to be aware that Jacob, he's doing the same thing. He loves Rachel because of what she looks like. The only qualifications we have that Jacob would love Rachel more than Leah is by their standard of what they look like. Because if you read between the lines, Leah had a better personality. Leah, God blessed Leah to be this mother because really it seems to be that Leah was going to be the person who was better fit to raise up children, who was better fit to be a wife. But Jacob's only looking out the outside. Now hear me, I want to talk to the young people, or if you don't have a spouse or somebody you might be looking, that's up to you, but especially to the young people, and I say this at camp. It is important that the woman or man you find for you is attractive to you. But I do want you to also understand that that looks fade and can change. And so you better make sure that it's just the one God has for you, that it's the one God prepared for you, and that it goes outside of just looks and that goes outside of just what vanity. And we want to be really careful about that. Keep going here down in verse 31. So Jacob loves Rachel more than Leah and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, woo! I mean, we're talking about some harsh language here. Jacob loves Rachel more than Leah, and God sees that she was hated. But God is merciful. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You don't think God knows the heart? Can I remind you and draw you your attention to Brother Carter had put me on to a show called House of David. And it's a good show. I don't even think I told you that, Brother Carter, that I was watching it. But, you know, it goes through this story biblically. But can I remind you that King Saul looked way more like a king than David ever did? He was head and shoulder above all the people. When they saw Saul, they literally looked at him and goes, that's majestic, regal. That is literally what a king is supposed to. He's the first king. He looks like what a king's supposed to look like. He's strong and mighty. And then here comes David and even his brothers and his dad. His dad didn't even call him to the lineup of who could be the next king or whatever Samuel was coming to do. He didn't call him because he was an afterthought. He said, surely. And Samuel didn't even know. Samuel goes, surely this is, here comes Eliab. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. God's like, not him. Bring another one. Not him. Surely, Lord. This guy's 6'5". Full of muscles. Looks like Dwayne the Rock Johnson. He's got to be the king. God said, no. I want you to go get somebody that looks like Aiden. He's small. He's a teenager. And he may grow up, but at the time he found David, he was just a teenager. Aiden's not a little kid, but he was a small teenager, and Aiden's not a small teenager. He's a normal teenager. I'm just saying, you look at Dwayne the Rock Johnson, you look at Aiden, say that this has got to be the next king of Israel. No offense, but they're like, we're probably going to go with the Rock on this one. Like, we got to lead us into battle. No offense. But Aiden is strong and mighty for the Lord, and I appreciate that. And you know what? I don't have to look on him on the outside because I know what's in here. And he's strong and mighty for the Lord, and I don't even know if the Rock, it doesn't seem like he's a saved person. And so I'll choose Aiden. And that's what God said. He said, Samuel, quit looking on the outer appearance of man. That's what man looks at. He says, I look at the heart. So he looks at the heart of Leah and says, you know what, Leah? You might be hated, but guess what I would do for you? For all eternity, you'll be known as the person that bears the priestly line, the Levitical line, and you'll be the one where from whence the line of the tribe of Judah came out of. Wow, what a great standard. Leah can go back and be like, you know what? Rachel may be hot, and Jacob may have loved her more, but Jesus came out of this baby. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I don't think she's up in heaven talking about Jesus came for me. I don't think that's what's going on. I don't think she's doing like a little Jesus tummy dance, but isn't it amazing how God uses what is seemed to be unusable? And Leah conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben. It's a great sandwich, by the way. Sorry. you only get so many times to preach about Reuben, right? For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. You know what I love about Leah? Look how spiritual she is. She knew exactly why it happened. She didn't say, I'm so good, or he loves me now. She wants him to love him now. She thinks he's going to love him now. But that's not, she knows it happens because the Lord had mercy on her. And that's good, isn't it? I was telling Thomas today, we were talking, and we were talking in our discipleship about soul winning and witnessing. And I said to him, you know, we like to put a lot of stock on, you know, we're witnessing to people, we're inviting people to church. We like to put a lot of stock in like what we've done, but nobody ever gets saved or ever comes to church unless God does it, unless God has mercy. And then they get to make a decision, right? But I'm like, if that was the case, then every church that was evangelistic at all, the doors would be, you wouldn't be able to get enough chairs in there because everybody would just come. And we know that that's not the case. And so when we look at this, we understand clearly that she understood. She look at the capital L-O-R-D. She knows the right God. Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Now she thinks, because I've had this baby, so she's still seeking. But watch this. Sometimes people read that and they go, she should be happy she had a baby, but watch this. God said way back that your desire shall be unto thy husband. Paul confirms it, says that the wife shall submit to her husband. Leah's being godly. She's saying, I want my husband to love me because that's his command, Preacher Smith, from the Bible. It's the man's command to love her. It's his wife. It's his real wife. Jacob is supposed to love her just like he loves Rachel. She's doing her job. She's in submission. Here's this godly woman, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard, I was hated. Oh, she's close to the Lord. How does she know that? There's nowhere in the Bible that says she got a personal revelation. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But I just think she was so close to the Lord, she could see, clearly implied what's happening. Couldn't you just see it? It'd be really obvious that Jacob loved Rachel and that he didn't like Leah. Who would he spend all his time with? Now they're having babies, so he spent a little time with Leah. But seems to be just a using situation. This is a little grotesque, but I read one commentary one time that says Jacob only uses Leah while Rachel is on that time of the month. That's how much he despised her. That it was just for his physical want in that moment. And just think about how hard that would be for Leah. Leah knew she was hated, and so whether she was just so close to the Lord, we don't get in the Bible that she got any special revelation, but that's what's taking place here. And she says, he's given me this son, and so she called his name Simeon. Well, that's cool, because think about all the Simons, same name in the New Testament that we get in the Bible from this birthright of Leah. And she conceived again and now bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Remember I said she's the mother of the Levitical priesthood? There it is. Remember this morning when we were talking about Moses? Where does he come from? Levi. From Kohath to Mary to Morath to Jochebed and Moses and Aaron are born from that, the line of the Levites. What a blessed woman. Now, this is a mother. There is nothing like a mom that's rooting for their child. You don't think she's, I know that she doesn't get this generations later, but you don't think she's up there like super proud of God? She's hated. God opens her womb and gives her something amazing. I mean, if you had a child in here that does anything, it never ceases to amaze me, but like, my wife is much better than me, but like, Jaleesa and the kids are older now, and so it's so I'm honest now, but like, they used to come home from preschool or something like that and bring home some of the worst, the most God-awful looking pictures and stuff and creations. They're like, Dad, look at this. This is so great. And like, Chandra's a liar. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? She's like, that's so good, honey. I'm like, you tried. You know what I mean? I don't know. Man, a mom is super proud of what they do, aren't they? They're like, you could be the worst. I'm gonna say something that's not really nice, but like, I have an aunt and my cousin. He's about the same age as me, and he's no good at all. But man, if you talk to her, you would think he is just the mayor of the town he lives in. She's like, he's so good. I'm like, he sells dope. He's not any good. But she's like, not my baby. He's the head of the deacon board at his church. I'm like, no, he's not. He only goes on Christmas and Easter. And like, he's not good at all. She's like, oh, and he can cook. It's nasty. Everything he's ever made is dust. But she's like, he's such a, I mean, she's like, oh, this guy's 46 years old. And she's like, oh, that's my baby. Because the mom just, they're lost in space when it comes to their children. You can't say nothing about their children. They're just the best, right? But imagine if your son really was, and your grandsons really were. Because watch this, verse 35, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. She stopped having kids. So she bears the priestly line and the kingly line from whence the line of the tribe of Judah comes from. This hated, despised, cow-eyed woman. And she is the most blessed woman in the Bible outside of Mary, mother of Jesus. I can say that definitively. I really, maybe Eve in perfect paradise would, but you know, we generally are blaming Eve for transgression. Leah, we don't find any fault in Leah in this. We just see that she was hated, that she was godly, that she bare these. What a blessing. Can you imagine? I was watching a documentary the other day, and it has nothing to do with the Bible, but Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, his mom, they said that he was one of the greatest basketball players in high school and all the schools, and his whole family were North Carolina State fans. But Michael really wanted to go to North Carolina, their rival, right? And his mom, she said, you know, whatever, you know, Michael, you do what you want to do. And she's reading these letters. This is after he'd become the greatest player and been to the Bulls and a millionaire. And she's reading these letters that he would send from college. And this is back in the 80s, right? And so at the end of his letters, he's like, Mom, please send some more stamps so I can send some more letters, right? Like, he's looking for this. And she's like beaming. She's so proud. But she's not proud of the Michael Jordan that he's become. She's proud of the young man that her baby was riding her way back then from college. And so he, you know, becomes this famous worldwide sensation, all these different things. And she's smiling and laughing. And like, this is later on in history. This is in the 90s when she's telling these stories. She's not talking about him being a six-time champion or a six-time MVP or gold medalist. She's talking about when this guy had nothing, when he was dependent upon her, and she's so proud. And she's like, it was a video, and she's like beaming as a mother. Can you imagine the radiation that because they were just poor people. They were nobody. Michael Jordan's dad and mom are short people, and he just grew to be this tall, amazing bat. Nobody saw it coming, right? Can you imagine, Leah? Nobody sees it coming, and here you are. Again, my estimation, the second most blessed woman that's ever lived. I mean, Mary, you can't compete with that, can you? I mean, I don't think you can compete with Mary. Mary's a sinner. I understand that, and there's no immaculate conception, but Mary certainly is blessed and highly favored among and above all women in that sense. But second to Mary in all the Bible is Leah. And we sometimes miss that. We sometimes miss that. And again, even when we name the patriarch's wives, we don't name her. But she just had four. There's 12 tribes of Israel. She's four out of 12. She's got a third of those tribes, and we're going to see some things about her later. We got time. Okay, so we're going to, chapter 30, we're going to speed up here a little bit. But when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Watch how spiritual Leah was and how unspiritual Rachel is. Rachel sees, now these are her nephews. I got that right? These are her nephews. Anybody here got a nephew or niece they're proud of? But Rachel envies her sister, which the Bible, I know it's not written yet, but doesn't the Bible say that it's wrong to do that? You know what that means? Rachel's not very godly. Leah's very godly. And God is blessing. And Rachel, oh, you got all the beauty, baby. You got all the beauty, but you don't got all the blessings. When she gets right, though, watch this. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel because she said, you know, give me children or I die. And Jacob's mad. He said, am I God in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Woo! Jacob said, it ain't me. God did it to you. Ugh. I told you, they got issues over here. Bananaram is on fire right now. And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah. Oh, boy. We saw this mistake with Jacob's old grandma, didn't we? Here's Bilhah. Here's this young handmaid. Take her to wife. And Jacob doesn't argue. He goes on, does it. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. So this is Bilhah's son, okay? Rachel's going to raise it up like her own, but it's not her biological seed. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So she's still wrestling. She's still trying to get blessed in all the wrong ways, just like Sarah was. Sarah was like, take Hagar so that I can be blessed. Instead of going to God, Leah, when she couldn't be loved, she's still close to God. You wonder why she's blessed? This is why. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her handmaid. So now Leah's like, okay, I can't have any more children either. I'm too old. And so let me give Jacob my handmaid. This isn't because she's not spiritual. This isn't even because she envied. It doesn't say that. She's just trying to continue the line because by this time, they know the promise of God. They know that they are going to have these seeds and descendants, and they're doing this. And so she does this, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. You know why I know that she's doing this to propel? Because of what she named him. A troop cometh, because we need to keep propelling and having more sons, because the promised people are through Jacob's loin. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knows that because she's more spiritual. Now watch what Leah said. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. She has another son by Zilpah. Look what she just said. I'm a proud mama. Everybody's going to call me blessed because I'm having children in the promised line. Oh boy. Here's this story. And Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them into his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou also take away my son's mandrakes? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. Watch this. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. So he comes back to Leah, and he's going to bless her again. You talk about just a blessed person and what God is doing there. So she goes on, and she's going to have Issachar now, okay? So we'll see that tribe later on. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. So she's like, the more kids I have, now I'm half of the tribes. He's going to love me. But she's still saying, God's blessed me, right? And God, now here it is. And afterwards she bare a daughter. So she also is the one that's going to have the daughter. And her name is Dinah. But watch this. Rachel's finally coming to a place where she's starting to look at her sister. And even though she may still be moved with envy, she's also looking at her and learning a little something and going, you know what? She's being blessed of God for some reason. Maybe I ought to search for myself, this God, a little deeper. And I think it's a good thing for us to be able to look at somebody. You can't always see this, but my friend Anthony Rudolph, he always said, you want to stand to people who are more blessed, stand by people who are more blessed than you. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good thing. Because if the favor of God is on somebody, I want to be around them. Amen. When I see the favor of God around, I want to be around people. I'm not talking about you having a bad life, because you can be having struggles in your life and the favor of God still be on you. Can still be very obvious. So don't talk about that. But like, it's obvious when the favor of God's on somebody, and I want to be around those people. I like that. But here they are. They've been arguing over plants. That's what a mandrake is. They're arguing over these old ancient plants, right? They've been envying each other, but Rachel's going to come to this place of recognition, in my belief here. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her. See, he hearkened to her. That means she prayed. She finally, remember all this other time? She's just been complaining. Somebody's fault is this, my sister. But now she goes to God. In that, I don't know this, but I can surmise that there was a bit of repentance and understanding that, God, you've been blessing my sister because you're God. And I've been searching every other way, but let me come to you and watch what happens. And God opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. See, now she's giving glory to God. She's not saying because I'm beautiful or because my husband loves me or no, glory to God. And she called his name Joseph. We know this. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into my own place, to my own country, and give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Even Laban gets it. Favor of God is on Jacob. Stay here, because I want that favor. Now, you've been tricking him. You're doing all this other stuff. He said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. I'll pay you whatever for you to stay. And he said unto them, thou knowest I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was a little which thou hadst before I came, and is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. Now Jacob's going to be tricky here too. But I want to say this in the spiritual sense. We want to add value to every relationship we're in. But man, let me tell you this. In every situation, every relationship you're in, be a blessing. Be a part of something that grows. Be a part of something that produces fruit. Be a part of something good. You be a blessing, right? I'm not just talking about financially. I'm just talking about in general. Don't be a drag. Don't pull situations. Everything you're involved in, make it better. If you're part of a team, make the team better. Even if you never get in the game, practice hard. Give your teammates water and a towel when they come to the bench. Make it better. If you're at work, be a good employee. Don't be a slugger. Don't pull things down. If you're a part of a family, be a good member of the family. They say we're supposed to bring something to the family reunion. Bring something. Don't show up and then eat everything and then take a to-go box home and you haven't brought anything. You're a part of a church? Bring a blessing. Now watch this. Sometimes your blessing is just being there. If all you're going to do is be a part of it and just show up, you're not going to serve anywhere, you're not going to do it, fine, but at least be there. Bring your blessing in, right? I think that's important. Jacob says, I've been a blessing. Everything's grown. Everything's gotten better since you've been here. You know what I always tell Ray? My brother Ray, look at him, looking good in his suit and all this other stuff. I've known Ray since he was a young teenager. And him and Brandon have been friends forever. Brandon brought him into my life, and Brother Ray has been a part of my life for many years now. And I always tell her, you know, Ray will just, he's just Ray. So he'll just end up in Alaska for years, and you won't see Ray for a while, and then he'll come back. And I'm always like, Ray, I wish you would just stay around. Our life is better when you're here. You're a blessing to us. Our life, when my little girl, Savea, she's going to be 17, when she was about 4, we'd go fishing. Ray took us to the worst ever place to fish at. We had to cut through. Remember that, Brandon? We had to cut through, like, we'd have machetes to cut through. He's like, there's big fish in here. Come on, let's go to this place. And we go to this place. I don't even know how to get there now, and I'm good at navigation. And I couldn't even tell you where it was at. Ray's like, go this way and go that way. And we got there. I'm like, Ray, I don't see any water. He's like, well, we got to go through these woods. It was like a jungle we had to cut through. And we're like, we finally get to this water. And he was right. There was some really big fish. We didn't catch anything that day, but there was a really big fish. And I remember my little girl, Savea, was with us. And I'm like, Ray, I got my 4-year-old out here. And we're like, have to like dig through all this other stuff. And she loved Ray. She's like, Ray, I will fish with you. Ray, I want to fish with you. And all this other stuff. I said, Ray, when you're with us and you're living for the Lord, our life's better with you. It's a blessing to me. And I want to be that to other people when I'm around. I don't want to pull people down. Ray's been around me. He's never asked me for a thing. He always just come around and just smiling and joyful. And hey, preacher, listen, all I'm saying to you is, man, Jacob's like, hey, Laban, I've been here all this time and I've been a blessing to you. You've been nothing but blessed since I've been here. And isn't that the situation we should want to find ourselves in? Now, Jacob's also going to do some dirty stuff here. Let's read. Down in verse 31. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou would do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock, and I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So he says, I'll take the worst of them. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the goats that were ring-staked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree, and piled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods, and set the rods which he had piled before the flocks and the gutters and the watering throughs when the flocks came to drink, and when they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ringstrake, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ringstrake and all the brown of the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods between before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels. And so basically he tricks them, and he's going to give him all the worst cattle, and he's going to get the best. And we'll kind of get into that next week. So that's where we'll end tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, again, thank you that you have given us this opportunity to come into your house and to get in your word, to be together, to sing and lift our voices unto you. Lord, I'm grateful that you've just given us another Sunday to preach Jesus. Lord, no day is promised unto us. And Lord, every day that you tarry in your coming and don't rapture us home is another opportunity to serve you here on earth, to be the light of the world. Should you wake us up in the morning, Lord, let us not forget that it is our call, it is our commission to be a witness of you, that we are to go and to teach all nations, to tell them that they need to be baptized after their salvation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then it's our opportunity and job to teach them to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded. Let us remember that it is our loving want to love our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. As the music begins to play tonight, I pray that we would be a people whose minds are fixed on Jesus and stayed on Jesus. And when we leave out of this place, even though Sunday being the Lord's Day,